You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, Episode 53, 6 Surefire Strategies to Getting More Done in Less Time. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson here, and today we're going to be talking about how to get more done. But first, let's talk about how to get more cash flowing into your business. So whether you've got great cash flow and you're looking for a way to boost income quickly when you need it most, or maybe you haven't quite figured out how to get more cash flowing into your business, I highly recommend you get my free download, The Top 10 Rapid Cash Strategies, which outlines my absolute best proven techniques to get fast income coming into your business. Now, I've personally implemented one of these strategies or worked with a client to successfully implement one of these strategies. Each and every one of them is proven to work. So all you need to do is download it right now at rapidcashstrategies.com. Now let's get into the episode. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like we live in a very fast-paced world where there's a constant feeling of how can I get more done? I notice a lot of really long to-do lists, a pervasive need to keep up with others. And of course, that little internal demon starts going off. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. Not to mention the deep, high achiever in us that feels this gap between where we want to be and where we are right now. And I think these pervasive thoughts of how do I get more done tend to weigh on us and actually keep us from being more productive. I don't know if you've ever heard of this study. There was a study done many years ago that the mind is being bombarded with a million bytes of information in every minute. That's, you know, just being able to see what's going on around you, the car driving down the street, noticing someone walking by you, seeing the things in your environment. Those are all bytes of information, not to mention what happens when you open up your emails or get on social media, right? So imagine what this is like now that Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these other things to do started to bombard us. And it's no wonder it's challenging to get things done when we're being pulled in so many different directions all the time. Think about how many times you've ended your day wondering how your to-do list got so long and that you feel like you didn't even make a dent in it. Most of us suffer with this terminal overcommit and underperform mentality. We want to do more. We want to achieve more. We're constantly telling ourselves we want to do more. And yet we have this gap between what we get done and what we say we want to do, especially when it comes to our own businesses. And a lot of this has to do with a habit that we cultivate. And a lot of it has to do with how we set up our business, how we establish, how we exchange money to deliver on our products and offers. But a lot of it stems from the conditions we live in. We actually establish conditions that have a negative drag on our ability to achieve more. The conditions we set up in life either pull us forward, and they're like magnets that pull us towards what we want, or they block and disconnect and act like barriers. And most people have unconsciously set up conditions that sabotage their growth and make getting things done 10 times harder than it has to be. You've probably heard, you know, it's like, okay, I made that way too complicated. And, you know, we're all kind of like by nature complicating things that don't need to be complicated. And the conditions we create for ourselves oftentimes evolve the way a frog ends up dying in a pot of boiling water. Like you put the frog in and you turn the heat up and it slowly cooks because it's not feeling the change. We continually add more, evolve more, shift more, and these slow incremental changes are not felt. And all of a sudden it's really, really hot. But if you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it's going to jump out because it realizes that's way too hot for me. And that's how we set ourselves up to fail, and in a way, self-sabotage. So what are some of the ineffective conditions that people set up? Well, there's tons, but here's some of the common ones I run into. Being in a reactive mode because they're not planning. Working from home with inadequate workspace or with people who are constantly interrupting them. Setting up billings or work relationships that require constant attention or micromanagement. Waiting until a resource is completely gone before you replace it, and then you're disrupted and you can't accomplish what you need. So do you tend to run out of paper or printer ink or money, and all of a sudden you can't move forward because you've run out of something important? People all the time surround themselves with negative forces, toxic people, non-supportive friends, environments that don't really lift them up and inspire them, and they tend to pull them away from their ability to progress. And as I mentioned earlier, making things too complicated, having programs or systems that are so complicated and arduous that they tend to take so much time, they don't really ever get results fast enough. Or they break down all the time and suck up your time because you're running around in the weeds trying to fix the next thing. You know, there's a lot of things, and maybe you just want to take a minute to think about, what are your conditions like? And are your conditions allowing you to thrive and to grow quickly and get things done? Or do you find it's really hard to get through things? It's like slogging through mud to get where you need to go because maybe your conditions aren't primed to win. I've been working with entrepreneurs for over 16 years now by the time this episode's going live. And a big part of it is helping them get the edge in their game. And that edge helps them leap and catapult instead of that incremental crawl. And it has a lot to do with the way you believe in sharpening your saw. Not everything is about big actions. They're about small things that when you do them well, they actually give you more power, more focus, more energy, more intention, more resourcefulness to accomplish more faster. Now, how do we set up an environment or a condition to win? Let's talk about some of the ones that I think are a sure bet. You do this, you will actually catapult yourself faster. And the first one is getting organized. Now, I know everybody's wired differently. Sometimes the more creative you are, the more chaos that you tend to have around you because it's part of your creative process. I don't think organization is easy for everybody, but there's different levels of organization. And I'm talking about how do you organize the materials that you need to work? And how can you take 2 minutes to organize something that will save you hours of looking for it later? If you tend to join a program or buy something and then you can't find what you need to use it, this is a great, great thing for you. It can also be, how do you organize the things you deliver all the time? Do you have something that you deliver over and over and over again and or you have to do over and over and over again? And each time you do it, it's like starting over. So getting organized means that you find the things that you tend to waste a lot of time on and you shouldn't, and organize yourself in a way that makes it easier. Create a checklist. Have a place that you store the same things. Find a technology that works for you. Okay, so don't let a lack of organization derail your time and your energy and your focus. Figure out the things that you can get organized. Now, I'm not an organized person by nature. My teetering into the creative side, and I'm not an organized brain. But I do find that getting organized, it just makes my time so much more productive. And some of the things that I've learned to organize are organizing things for a program. So I'll either use Google Drive to organize everything that I'm going to teach on a program, or if I need to, I'll print things out and store them in one binder. Okay, I use a lot of folders to help me organize papers that may get spread all over my desk normally. A big one is when you join a program, take 5 minutes to create an email folder and an automatic rule for that sender so that everything about the program goes into a folder. And if they don't provide you a binder, get a binder and the things you need to print out, print them out and store them in the binder so you always have them handy. This is a simple thing, but you would be amazed how many people don't do it. Another thing I like to do is, how do you organize your calls and your calendar? This is huge. I can't tell you how many people have lost coaching sessions with me because they didn't organize themselves. and taking a simple Google Calendar, which is absolutely free, and putting in your calendar the time of the call and the materials you need and any phone numbers makes it so it's super easy and super fast. We even do this with the interviews that I do for third parties, for other show hosts. When they schedule the call with me, my team puts it in my calendar with all the questions they want to ask me and any important links and who the host is and where I'm supposed to call and if I have to prepare anything. So it's all in one place. Having this is so good for your mind. It allows you to focus and not spend important time trying to get organized. Now, let's talk about number two, and that's the plan. One of the things that will save you so much time and help you get so much more done is taking the time to plan things out. And if you're not a planner by nature, which I know most entrepreneurs are not, then this might challenge you at first, but it's a habit. And I think the habit becomes more important and more valuable when you realize what it's costing you to not be organized here. Listen, if you're winging it all the time and you're running around and you don't know what you're doing, your team is frustrated because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, people are doing things wrong, you're missing out on opportunities because you forgot to plan for them. Let me tell you, having a really simple plan, I like to use what I call the Profit Explosion Planning System. It's a tool that I designed for my clients because it keeps it simple. And a plan is something as simple as what is our commitment or what is the thing that needs to get done and when is it going to get done and who's doing it? That's the essence of a plan. Now, I am a huge planner in terms of what needs to get done for our commitments, but also really getting my mind clear and focused on what are we going to offer. So I mentioned my Profit Explosion Toolkit. I use that technique to plan out how much money I'm going to make, or if I'm doing it for a client, how much money they want to make. What do they need to offer in order to deliver that money in the door? When is it going to happen throughout the year? So we map out, all right, if you're offering it in June, when do you start promoting it? When do you start creating it? So they can see very quickly, visually, when things need to happen. And also, what marketing efforts will you do to make sure that the thing that you're doing is actually selling well. So it's kind of reverse engineering what you want to have happen. And sometimes it's hard to do it on your own, but I think if you have the right system, you have an easy step-by-step process, it gets so much easier. And you can check out ProfitExplosionToolkit.com if you want a resource like that. I also am a huge fan of using project management tools. We've used several different project planning tools, task management tools over the years. I'll drop a couple in the show notes at melaniebenson.com/blog if you want to check out what we use. Let's move on to number three, batching similar tasks. Why is this so important? Well, most entrepreneurs are kind of in a constant ping pong match. They start a project, they jump over to Facebook, an email comes in, the phone rings. They're doing like seven different things and nothing is getting done. And I learned early on in my career about what happens when you multitask. So I came out of a project management background. So I had this big idea that I needed to maximize every second. So if I wasn't doing one thing or I was waiting, I would jump over and do another task and I'm bouncing back and forth between things all the time. And I think I'm actually quite talented at it. Maybe you do too. But what I discovered is that's what's actually called switch tasking. And switch tasking is you're switching between tasks and you're losing momentum. And I realized that having this multitasking approach was actually working against me. And so now I do something where I batch my similar tasks. And whether I'm doing coaching or I'm working on a project or I'm recording podcast episodes, whatever I do, I try to do a whole bunch of them at once and keep like tasks together. And what that allows me to do is get into a mindset where I'm in flow. So for instance, if you are doing planning, schedule a big block of time to do planning. Do them all together. If you're doing coaching or you've got sales calls, do a whole bunch of them together. If you're doing things for yourself, you want to do some reading or you're going to, do some self-care, do it at the same time. It's so much easier to pull it off when you do like activities all at the same time. Most importantly, your thinking gets into a groove and you accomplish more faster. So let's move on to tip number 4, and that's delegate more faster. A lot of time is wasted when you're doing a task that someone can do better, faster, or cheaper. Now, granted, when the cash flow's tight, sometimes it's tempting to keep it all in-house and do it yourself, but ultimately, you can't get very much done very fast when you're doing everything yourself. So then you have to bring the expectations down and say, I'm doing it myself, so I have to be willing to go slower. So think about what you're doing that's actually costing you progress. Are you doing things yourself that you're like, why am I doing this? Someone else could do it. I don't even like doing it. Are you doing tasks and activities that take up enormous amounts of time that you really don't have to be the one that does? Think about what you could let go of to make room for the tasks that only you can do. This might be getting someone else to return phone calls and handle routine emails. It could be data entry, things that anybody could do. You know, it's like a $10 to $12 an hour job, but you're doing it yourself to save a couple bucks. Can someone else do your social media posts for you? Could someone else follow up with those 17 speaking opportunities that you've never followed up on? Can someone else help you set up strategic partnerships and manage the relationship for you? Can someone else help make sure that the marketing and client communications that need to go out get done? Can someone else do the project management, right? Like, what can you get off your plate? Okay, really, really look at that. And I do have a free guide that might help with that. And I'll make sure to post it in the show notes as well. So now let's get to number 5, how to get more done by raising your standards and having good boundaries. So let's talk about boundaries for a minute. Boundaries are really important and oftentimes very underused. So a standard is something that's important to you, and you basically have a standard about how you want something handled in your life. And I'm a huge fan of raising our standards to get better, faster results. But without a standard, without a boundary, is like a castle without a moat. And so the boundary acts like the moat that supports the standard. So if you think about the way a castle was built, these beautiful castles were built all over the world for centuries and centuries, and they were vulnerable oftentimes if they didn't have a moat to protect it. So boundaries are the way that we protect our standards and make sure that they happen. Now, in our own lives, our standards are our bold goals. There are desires for certain lifestyle. They're ways in which we want something done. They're how we communicate. They're all these different things that if they're not being met, it stresses you. So the boundaries we put in place protect our ability to sustain those standards. And if we're constantly being bombarded by distractions, energy drains, problems, other people's toxicity, it can be very difficult to reach for new heights when you're dragged down all the time. So I want you to consider a few things about your environment and the conditions you're in and see, could you raise your standard here? So do you have a disruption-free workplace? If not, how? Why? Like, is that serving you? I mean, are you distracted all the time? Could you raise your standards a little bit and at least have chunks of time that you have disruption-free work? And that means not answering your phone and having emails turned off so you're not constantly getting bombarded with outside stimulation. How well are you communicating, and is your team communicating about deadlines, procedures, and what you need? So raise your standard about how proactive you are with that communication. What is your engagement with people that drain you? So do you have to be around a lot of people that make you like feel like your life has been sucked out of you afterwards? If so, how could you raise your standard there? Honestly, I just don't have a lot of bandwidth for it anymore. And there's some people who are really awesome in a lot of ways, but they just seem to drain me. I just limit my time. It's not that they're not amazing in other ways. It's just I have to be conscious about who I am around. I don't live on Facebook very much because I find it being very toxic and very draining. So what could you do to raise your standard? So for me, I choose to spend my time with people who are inspiring and who really do support me, and I want to support them. And I just choose not to go to things when other negative forces are there that if I can choose not to, I don't. So what does your standard need to be? And ultimately, what are you allowing through a lack of boundaries that is causing you to get off track? Could you turn off your phone and your email while you're working on projects? Could you stop solving problems for your team because you're getting sucked into coaching them or mentoring them and really let them solve their own problems? That was a huge one for a client of mine one time. And here's one last one to think about. If cash flow seems to be an issue and financial resources tend to not be available, could a new standard be that you set up reserves so that you have the ability to tap into it when you need resources? Okay, so could you have a reserve of the things that you tend to run out of? Those are some different ideas to start thinking about the standards you have and a boundary that will help you really have what you need to grow. Now, let's tackle one last concept, and that is how to simplify your approach so you have the ability to get more done quickly. And, you know, I see a lot of different things that people do that just drain their time from, you know, making things too complicated. One big one is just how people organize the flow of their effort. And there was this time when there was someone in my social circle who was complaining that he had spent 4 hours driving all over the city to pick up mail, cash those checks, and then, you know, like run over to another client, and it was taking him hours. And I was like, why would you not just send them an online invoice? And why are you allowing people to not pay you on time? He had made his billing process so complicated that it took him 4 hours to do something that should have taken 20 minutes. And these are the things we do that tend to drain us and take us away from things that could actually grow the business. So let's figure out, what are the things that are too complicated? You know, do you have a program that it takes so long to execute on, but you start to realize the money I'm making on this program, this is not worth it? Simplify. Do you have too many team members and you don't want to be the bottleneck? You don't want to be the cog in the wheel. Simplify. Hire someone who has their own team and let them execute on things for you. Some people thrive on that management piece. What are you doing that's too complicated? Figure out how to simplify it, and you will find that you get so much time back. There was one that I tackled probably about 10 years ago, and thank goodness for technology because it really allowed me to do something better that I don't like doing. And that is, I don't like chasing people down to schedule appointments. And I found that my team was actually burning through a lot of time calling and emailing people, trying to get them set up, figure out what day. Oh, by the time we get back to them, you know, that time's gone. So we went to an online scheduling tool, and I love it. I use Acuity. It's one of my favorites. I've tried a lot of different ones. This one integrates with a lot of the other tools we use, so it makes it so seamless, and I love it. So think about things like that. What are you doing that's spending way too much time? And you could simplify it, and it's stressing you out. Don't be the boiled frog there. So in closing, the idea here is, what can you do differently that would actually free up time? I think it's easy to get caught in the treadmill of, we do these things the way we do them and forget to take a step back and reevaluate. Is it really working for me? So maybe these next 12 months can be the best 12 months of your life by creating some new conditions for thriving, to create conditions that help you win faster, that help you achieve more. So these are my thoughts. I'd love to hear yours. Why don't you jump over to the show page on melaniebenson.com/blog Tell me what you got out of today's episode and what do you want to add to the list? What would you do differently? Also, if you've loved this episode and you think others might too, give it a little social media love. That on the show page, there are buttons that you can share it. I'm on Twitter, Mel Coach. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Benson Strick. I'm on Instagram at Coach Melanie Benson. So thanks so much for being here. We'll be back again next week with another exciting, inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success. I'm Melanie Benson. Bye for now.